you'd watched that TV commercial, they have done that, and they will leave a light for you to come in. And I know that riding a bike and seeing that light on makes a big difference when you're coming in, and especially when you get wet, to see a light. Today, people are looking for a light, folks. They are looking for all kinds of lights, and they see in metropolitan cities, if you look everywhere, you see lights everywhere illuminate. And if you get outside of the city and look up in the horizon, you can see this big lighted haze above a big city, can't you? Anybody ever notice that? You see that, and when you're around a lot of lights, it projects, and it gives off illumination. And so we should also be looking at this lost and dying world this morning to say, we'll leave a light on for you, not just here in this church, but in our lives, in our communities, and everywhere we go, people will see a light that Jesus shines. That's the whole theme of Vacation Bible School this week, is to shine, to be bright. And so as we look to this morning, as Christians, it is of no value if we are not shining in our daily life. It doesn't help to be just a Sunday Christian, to be shining on Sunday mornings. It doesn't help. But you have to shine each and every day of our lives, and that is what we're looking for. This is what God is calling us for. And as we look this morning, we'll see a couple of things, three things exactly. Leave a light on. Let your light shine before men, before people. That means that we are personally to have a light to shine. God has given each one of us. It's our influence that we have. Part of the problem we see today is so much of computers and everything else, fads and whatnot, take over. School teachers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll come in next year in school and you'll look to see what. What is the new fad the kids are doing? Whether it's some kind of action they do, whether it's clothing they wear, and then everybody else wants to do what? Do the same thing. That's the way Jesus says our light should be. They should illuminate so that others will see Christ in us, that they will want to do it. We have to have an influence in this world. We have to make this difference. Secondly, we see, leave a light on that others may see your good works. That means that each person has a task. Now, it would have been great to see everybody stand up today for Vacation Bible School, for workers. Every person has a task. Whether it is to teach, whether it is to preach, whether it is to sing, whether it is to play, whether it is to pray. We can pray. We need prayers for these young people today. We're seeing so many marriages that end up in divorces and remarriages, and kids do not even know who their real parents are sometimes. If they don't know that, then how much do they know about Jesus? Vacation Bible School gives us an opportunity to share the love of Jesus to these kids that have been left behind sometimes, that have been forgotten, that have been mixed up and don't know which way to go. And so we see that we have an influence and we have an action, we have a job. And then the last thing we're going to see this morning is leave a light on as people to see good works and give glory to your Father. That means that we all serve God. We have a motive, and that motive is to serve God. In our community, there are people that are unchurched. There are people that don't know Jesus Christ. And there are many people that we can leave a light on in our community for. Today, church growth analysts say that churches could be normally reach out about 25 miles. Now, I know that's not the norm. It's a little exception, and some reach out even further. But people will travel to the far to find a church that is preaching and teaching and worshiping and letting their light shine. Half of the people are unchurched. Half of the people are without Christ. Half of them are lost. And so how can this church effectively find them and witness to them and enlist them into the church? Consider these points that we just talked about. First of all, let your light shine before men. Your light represents the presence of God within you and among you. And then when we come in contact with people, they should know that we're Christians by what? By our love, by our actions. They should see us. It's not something we just do on Sunday mornings at church or Wednesday nights on Bible study, but it's something that we do each and every day of our lives. We come to be an influence that others can see that light in us. But we need to remember that we're not spotlights either. We're not to point out the sins of the others. We are to use it as a beacon, a light that illuminates, a light that draws. As a kid, I was fascinated. I grew up in a city, and in that city, when a new business would open up, one of the things they would do to attract is get a great big spotlight, and you would see the beams all over flashing and following it. And it would attract people to come and to see where that spotlight was so that you would be able to support that business. Folks, that's what we need to become. We need to be the beacon that people will see the light and come to Jesus Christ. Make a difference in the world in which we live. The Great Commission is fulfilled when we light up the world with Christ, one person at a time. Mass evangelism is fantastic. Billy Graham did a great job with mass evangelism, and thousands of people came forward every time he gave an invitation. But we know that the best way for us to win is one-on-one, one person at a time, beginning with Jerusalem, which is Withfield Baptist Church, Withfield, the town of, and then extending out into the rest of the world. George Bonner, in his book, Grow Your Church from the Outside, speaks of the power of influence. When Jesus spoke of the light that was to be shining, he was talking about our influence. And that is what we're supposed to have, the power of influence. And this is where we as Christians need to come back to. We need to come back to having that power of influence. We should make every effort to offer people the same thing we have experienced in Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever gotten excited about Jesus? Anybody ever got excited about Jesus? Now, how many of us have told everybody about it? That's what he's calling us to do in the Great Commission, to take the experiences that we have. We offer people a new relationship, that relationship that we have with Jesus each and every day. When was the last time we got excited about inviting someone to our church? We have something to get excited about. We have Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins that we may have life and have life more abundant. We have the answer of life, and we don't want to be giving it out to others. And that's what God has taught us. Get excited and leave a light on. Second, leave a light on your actions, that they may see your good works. Now, good works is not going to save you by any means. Don't get me wrong with that. We don't work for God for salvation. We have been given salvation by grace. But God says that if you accept my Son, then you will want to work for me. And so we see that our actions, doing good is not an option. Doing what is right is not an option. Doing what we have to do is work. We have to work for the Lord. Just like we work for a paycheck, we work for the Lord each and every day of our lives, each one of us. And this is the way we make our light shine. This is how we make the light become real in this world and to make an influence, a difference. Never hide our faith. How many people have discovered and said, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian? I think that's one of the worst statements that can be made of a Christian, don't you? Oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. What does that tell us? It tells us that we're not letting our light shine, that we have had it. We have got to use it. We've got to walk the walk. We have to do the same thing that we're learning about today. We have to take it out into our communities. Several years ago, there was a movement that got started called Pass It On. And this movement simply was one person would do a random act of kindness, and that one would pass it on to another. Just being kind to one another, just doing something good. One of the states that did this, that participated, was in a drive-in hamburger stand. And the first one said, I want to pay for the next person's meal. They had ordered it. They already knew what the order was. They told them what the order was. They paid for it. So when that person drove up, they said, your meal has already been paid for. And they said, what do you mean my meal's been paid for? And they said, the person in the car before you paid for it. And then that person turned around and says, well, then I want to pay for the next one. And they said that this went on for half a day in that drive-in. So you see, acts of kindness is repaid by acts of kindness. You saw the commercial where the guy was helping one guy. He was a construction worker. And then this guy helped this one and this one. And at the end of all of the helping that was done, the young girl took a glass of water and carried it right back to the construction worker that was working at that point and gave him a drink of water. And as he wiped the brow, he thought how good it is to see that he started an act of kindness and it came round back to him. Others will participate. And this is what he's calling us to do. We are created to do good works, he says in Titus 3:8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. We are to be ongoing and doing it constantly and effectively the way God has called us to do it. And so this morning we come to see what he was talking about. We are to be different in different ministries. As I mentioned earlier, there are different ones that sing and play and teach and preach. There are prayer warriors. I have a lady that I love dearly that is still my prayer warrior. And when she calls me and when she texts me and says, I'm praying for you, I know she's praying for me. And I know it's a powerful prayer because she is a prayer warrior. That is her gift, is to pray for people. It's not to do anything else. She's not a teacher. She's not any of that. She's not a church leader. She just prays for people. That's her gift. That's her ministry. And this is what God is calling us to do. Good works do not earn you salvation, but you want to do it because of what God has given you. There should be an active desire to seek out ways to do good works, to find ways of helping one another. The ways found will be as varied as people are. Each one is unique in giftness. We have been given a gift, folks. We all have a uniqueness about ourselves that we need to take and use it to let our light shine. And those works are the light that others will see. Matthew 5:14-15, the verses right before this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its light stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. We are to let it leave, to let it burn brightly. The third thing we see is so that people will glorify your Father. The verses say this, that they may see your good works and glorify. Another word for glorify is praise. Praise God. Now, we have done some great praising this morning. We have complimented those that have sang and those that have played. But how many times do we really praise God and thank God for the many blessings he gives us? And I don't mean just in a prayer in the mornings or just a prayer at night. But we walk around with the praise that he has given us, and we thank him every day of our lives. With everything, we need to do it more often, because there are a lot of times that God is with us and guides us and gets us through things, and then we just take it for granted. When Jesus was talking about the light that was to shine, he was to make reference to our motives. We have motives, and that motive is to work for our Lord Jesus Christ. When you do things that are good and right, people will praise your Father, which is in heaven. When we finished Vacation Bible School, it's okay to say it was great and we had a great time, but all the praise should go to where? All the credit should go to who? To God. God's the one. Amanda could not have led this without God, could she? The workers cannot do, the teachers cannot teach without God. So who gets the credit is God, not us. And we need to remember that God gives us the abilities to do everything. You want others to glorify your Father which is in heaven, and that is very important. This is the motive of good works. This is what makes Christians different from the secular world, because we see and we do good works for God, that God may be glorified in that. You know as well as I do, when you do something to help somebody, it makes you feel good that you were able to help somebody. And face it, most of us are still young enough that we don't want help, right? But we still enjoy what? Giving help, don't we? We want to help others, but we're still young enough that we don't quite want that help ourselves, do we? But it feels good when you can help somebody, open the door for somebody, or somebody's got their hands full of groceries and they drop something and they're trying to figure out how they're going to pick it up. And then you reach over and you grab it and you stick it up there in their bag for them. Those are the things that make us feel good. Those are the things. They are looking for God. They're looking for answers in this world. And today we cannot find it. We are seeing thousands of people dying every day through murders, through starvation, through diseases, And these people are losing out because they've not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to let our light shine. Everything relates to the kingdom work. Matthew 6:33 gives us the best theme that we should see. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Are we seeking God's kingdom? Do we always ask first, God, is this your will? Is this your will? Am I doing the right thing, God? And before we act upon it, we should see. You cannot take someone where you've not been. You cannot lead someone if you're not there yourself. Finally, as we close, we want to see what Tom Rainer says in his book, The Unchurched Next Door. He says he wants people to understand the unchurched in order to better reach them. The premise is that we don't invite people. We need to invite people. He encourages Christians to make the effort to invite others to church that they might hear the gospel. The number one reason unchurched people do not come to church is because they've not been invited. This is the statement from Tom Rainer. The number one reason people do not come, it's not because of the music program or the salvation program or the preaching. The number one reason people don't come to church is because they have not been invited. And add in the paper, the note on the sign out here says, y'all welcome. That is not an invitation. They need a personal invitation to come. And this is what he's saying. Do not quit inviting people simply because people refuse. Before you take this sermon and before you take anything out of this, he also lists some tough questions that we need to take a look at. This is not to discourage us, but to help us become better lights. He also asked us, how is your prayer life? Will we never be able to reach people if we're not praying and searching and seeking. If you know somebody that's not a Christian, you need to start praying for them before you go and start sharing with them. Whom did you tell about Jesus today? The question is not how do you share, but did you share your faith? Did people see it in you, or did they just hear it from you? Do you need to reconcile with someone? We are called to a ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Are you committed to the church? It's not what the church can do for me, but what can I do for the church? And I think we've lost that mentality throughout this world. Too many people are looking and going to churches because of what the church is providing. It happens to be the flavor of the week. It happens to be the one that has the best music or the biggest youth program or this or that. And it draws people there, but that is not what it's called for. What it is saying is, what can you do for the church? Not what the church can do for you. But what can I do? Each one of us need to ask that question. What can I do for this church to make this church continue to grow for the name of Jesus Christ? And when we do that, we will begin to see some great and mighty things. Do you love others unconditionally? You know, we're all friends in here, and it's easy to love one another in here. But are there people out in this world that you don't love? Good example, how do you love those that shoot a plane down? How do you love those that do mass murders? How do you love your enemies that are always trying to put us down and to conquer this United States? How do you love unconditionally? It's easy to love our friends and our neighbors, isn't it? But how do you love the whole world? Through Jesus Christ. One person at a time. Do you have an attitude of gratitude? God was gracious, and we should be gracious, and we should extend that mercy. We should invite and bring someone to church this Sunday, next Sunday. You need all week to invite people to come to Vacation Bible School. Whether you're here or not, you need to let them know that we have a great program for our children and that you need to bring those children down here. We need to remember the circle of fellowship should be larger than the circle of membership. Today, the circle of membership is larger than the circle of fellowship. In the writing of the Baptist Press, Jim Elliff says, today we would take 300 people to have 100 attending. In the 1790s, it took only 33. In the early 1900s, it took 100 to get 300 to 10. We need this morning to extend the circle of fellowship, and thus the circle of membership in the kingdom of God will grow, and we will go out with them. Luke 14:23 said, "Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full.'" That is what God's commandment is for us, to go out into the highways and the byways, to tell people, to let people know. Jesus is pointing out that to his disciples that we should not be selfless, but we should pursue the gold. We need this morning to be an influence. We need to leave a light on. We need to be active. We need to do good works. We need to be right in our motives and give God the glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we pray now that we can take it and put it into our hearts, that through the music this morning, through everything that's been said, through the Scriptures, and through the message, that we have heard your word. Now, Father, touch our hearts. Give us strength. And help us not to burn brightly just here in this sanctuary, but help us to go out this day and each day. Help us to brighten our lights so that we can be an influence in the fellowship with others, so that the influence and the fellowship of the kingdom may grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.